Eric Sanchez here. This is Direct Impact, and this is part of what we're going to be talking about.
Back in June, astronauts Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams flew to the International Space Station on Boeing Starliner. But now they'll fly home next February in a SpaceX Crew Dragon.
Or so they say they'll fly home. Ha! Two astronauts stranded in space? Thanks, Boeing. This is a wild story. I'm Rick Sanchez. Hey, let's do this thing. Look, there's still a lot of chatter worldwide regarding the arrest of Telegram founder Pavel Durov, especially now that we know why he was essentially arrested. At first, we thought, well, look, who knows? Maybe this guy did something awful. Maybe he was running drugs, or maybe he was involved in some kind of awful scandal or something. But we're now finding out that that's not the case, because we have the charging document. It's been released. And it's mostly about complicity. What does complicity mean? Complicity basically means that they're charging him with whatever any one of his 1 billion users on his platform might have done or thought to do, which is like arresting the head of a phone company because somebody used their telephone to do a drug deal or something. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. No, it's beyond ridiculous. There's the document that we're talking about. What appears to be the most damaging charge is the one right there listed as charge number 2, the one that reads, refusal to communicate at the request of competent authorities information or documents necessary for carrying out and operating interceptions allowed by law. Now, what that means is that France essentially wants the ability to involve itself in the inner workings of this private company called Telegram, or the Telegram platform. That they'd like to be able to monitor the users who are on there and the messages that they send. Obviously, the question that comes to mind for me, especially as a journalist, I'm in this business, is should a government be allowed to do that? And by the way, what happens when you give the government the right to go in and look at people's stuff, whether it's listening to their phone calls or, you know, listening to what they write on Telegram or whatever other platform they're using? Well, we know kind of the answer to that question, because just yesterday, interestingly enough, Facebook / Meta founder Mark Zuckerberg released a letter to the U.S. Congress where he's apologizing for that. He's apologizing for allowing the U.S. government to inform and manage his platform. This is you can't make this stuff up. By the way, what he's saying the government did with him is much like what France is asking to do with Telegram. There it is. In a letter to Congress, Zuckerberg says on several occasions his company was incorrectly pressured by the White House to change or pull content regarding COVID, which he now wishes he hadn't changed or done. But the most damaging admission in the letter is that one right there. See that right there that we highlighted for you in yellow? That's where Zuckerberg writes, quote, in a separate situation, the FBI warned us about a potential Russian disinformation operation about the Biden family and Burisma in the lead up to the 2020 election. That fall, he writes to Congress, when we saw a New York Post story reporting on corruption allegations involving the then Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden's family, we sent that story to fact checkers for review and temporarily demoted it. That means they stopped it. They pulled the story while waiting for a reply. It's since been made clear that the reporting was not Russian disinformation. And in retrospect, we should not have demoted the story. We've changed our policies and processes to make sure this doesn't happen again. So look, what Zuckerberg is saying right there is, he allowed the government, the White House in this case, to tell him what to do, and now he regrets it. They did their usual blame Russia thing, you know, and he jumped when he heard that. And now Zuckerberg is saying he was essentially lied to and possibly manipulated. And as a result, more than 3 billion users that, you know, use Facebook did not hear the truth. So what does that tell us? That maybe France or any other government should not be granted whatever they want, because that can lead to some kind of censorship. Look, I frankly believe no government, not ours, not Russia, not France's, not China's, no government should be given access to determine what people should or should not hear or be allowed to monitor what people write or say. Now, here's where I'm going to go back a little bit on this. My thinking, should we be concerned about how to best manage social and digital media platforms? Yes, 100%, absolutely. We should come up with a way to do that. Can I come up with some way of doing that? Sure, here's my take. In a perfect world, we would create a body of fair-minded, informed, intelligent, objective men and women who would run down every communication, every story, and determine its value. And those people would need to not be connected to any party, to any cause, to any ideology, to any government, to any religion, whatever. Can we find those people? Can we make that grouping, that committee? I don't know. Maybe. I don't think so. So what do we do? Well, between now and then, the world, according to Rick Sanchez, for what it's worth, the best we can do, as imperfect as this sounds, sorry, just let all ideas into the marketplace. Let all ideas into the marketplace. Even the stupid ones. Even the wrong ones. Even the hurtful ones. And then we just need to trust our collective humanity to figure it out. That's what I think. Manila, I know you've been giving this a lot of thought yourself. What are your thoughts?
I agree with you on that front. But I want to talk about Mark Zuckerberg's faux mea culpa, right? And I call it a faux mea culpa. Obviously, he had to address this issue because another tech titan, similar to him in Pavel Durov, with his arrest, Mark Zuckerberg had to say something because eyes would turn to him eventually.
Yeah.
Obviously, like we heard the founder of Rumble fleeing France, who happened to be there the same time that Pavel Durov was there. He fled before he actually made a post about it on Twitter himself. But I'm calling this a faux mea culpa, and it's a day late and a buck short, because how does he respond? How does he answer to the fact that Facebook, Meta, is peppered with ex-spooks,
yeah,
ex-CIA agents, as Alan McLeod from Mint Press News in December of 2022 exposed that Facebook has this revolving door between Washington, D.C., the intel agencies, specifically the CIA, and a number of leadership roles within Facebook. Silicon Valley is completely blanketed with ex-spooks from right here at Langley. How does he address that? And he doesn't in his letter. That's the thing. So the thing here, Rick, is that
there is government interference taking place. You're saying there is government interference taking place at Facebook today, beyond this letter.
Okay. They don't need the government to apply pressure and put a jackboot on their neck. He has willingly hired folks from Washington to be within his ranks to kind of control from the inside out. Ex-spook.
Yeah.
So that's something to consider.
No, it's a great point. You know, just because he came out and put this letter out because he was being forced to by members of Congress doesn't mean that what he says in that letter is any different than what he's actually doing. And I think that's your point, and it's a damn well valid one. Hey, here's our other story that I wanted to get to you on. And this is beginning to sound like an Academy Award-winning movie. Here's the treatment, right? If we wrote a treatment and sent it to Hollywood. Two astronauts are stuck in space, and who knows when or how they will come home. Well, maybe next February we now learn, right? How'd they get there? Well, they went there on a Boeing, yes, Boeing Starliner capsule that apparently now, it don't work.
Back in June, astronauts Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams flew to the International Space Station on Boeing Starliner. But now they'll fly home next February in a SpaceX Crew Dragon. Despite Boeing's insistence, Starliner is safe to fly them back.
Butch Wilmore, Sonny Williams, blasted off to the International Space Station. That was, as you heard, just in June. Supposed to be an 8-day mission. 8 days. That's it. 8 days. Now they're going to have to wait at least another 6 months. And who knows if, you know, they're going to even be able to get back then. Instead of coming back on the Boeing Starliner, they're going to be coming back on, rescued, really. They're going to be rescued, right, by SpaceX, a private company owned by Elon Musk. And why can't they come back on the Boeing rocket that they went up on, right? Well, it's leaking helium. It's leaking helium, and its thrusters reportedly don't work. Now, question, should we be surprised?
As one of our members, Art Guy, pointed out, Starliner is as safe as a 737 MAX.
Right.
Oh, wait.
Exactly. That's why I do not in any way begrudge NASA for making this decision. It is awful that these two astronauts are going to be stuck for many months in the International Space Station. They won't be able to come home until February.
You cannot make this stuff up. TYT's assessment is pretty much what the whole world is thinking. It goes something like this. Can Boeing get anything right? I mean, can these people get anything right? And why do they keep getting paid with my tax dollars? I mean, if I did that, or any of you did that, things like what they have done, stuff like they've screwed up, we would have been fired ages ago. But I keep going on the air and reading about stuff that they got and government contracts and more planes and bigger planes and new designs and now this. This is a joke, Manila.
Yeah, Rick, the only thing I would say they would add to the Hollywood movie version of this would be that the two astronauts who have, why do astronauts always have cool names like Sonny and Butch and Buzz and, but I should point that out. But when they do come back in February, they're going to come back on Valentine's Day and they fall in love. That's the only thing you can add to this, right? But on the serious part of this, the sad part about Boeing, Rick, as you and I have discussed in the last several episodes about Boeing, their reputation, the MAX jet that at least two times have claimed the lives of hundreds of people after they've been down because the failure of inspection, there is something internally massively wrong at Boeing. And when lives are on the table like this, the U.S. government should not continue to invest our tax dollars into, I don't know what kind of R&D that they're doing, but now the private company, and you know, in Elon Musk's SpaceX, is going to have to go bail Boeing out. This is yet another corporate bailout in another form, in another fashion. Boeing is getting, you know, let go off the hook from this. Nobody's saying that much. The government is going to continue to deploy and employ Boeing as a major contractor because, let's face it, Boeing makes some other equipment that the U.S. government, namely the DOD, likes to use, Rick.
Yeah. Well, no, listen, I agree with you. And whether I've been a supervisor or I've actually run companies throughout my life, I believe one word is the most important, and that is meritocracy. Meritocracy. You get what you deserve. What you show me you can do is your value, and I'll pay you according to your value, and I'll either keep you, promote you, or fire you based on your value. I'm sorry, but you're absolutely right, Manila. Why is the government treating these people like they're A students when they seem to be D minus at best? I don't get it. It's not personal. I'm just looking at the record. Where's the merit here? And that's important. I mean, and that's where we are. Great conversation. We're going to talk to somebody in a little bit, by the way, who's going to be able to help us kind of work through some of these things out as well. His name is Larry Johnson. Larry Johnson worked at the CIA for 4 years. He worked as an analyst. Then he moved over to the State Department's. He worked at the State Department's Office of Counterterrorism, by the way. There he is. He's a commentator. He's a blogger now. And he's going to join us right here in a GIF. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back. I'm Rick Sanchez, and this is Direct Impact. Our guest, Larry Johnson. Former CIA analyst, author, and blogger. Welcome, Larry. Thanks for joining us.
Always good to be with you, Rick.
What do you make of this Telegram situation? I mean, I'm sitting here thinking, like, it's almost like, to me anyway, a little bit of a bridge too far for France to be telling any digital platform, we need to know who the people are on your platform, we need to have access to what they say, and we're going to hold you responsible for anything they do. Seems a little bit of an overreach to me, but what the hell do I know?
It looks to me like the French are acting at the behest of the United States.
Mm.
Because the particular language that's used in that charge that you referenced, it says refusal to provide information or documents necessary for the conduct and implementation of a wiretap permitted by law upon request of an enforcement agency. Now, I'm not an international law specialist, but what I do know is that the United States is one of the few countries where we do draw a distinction between intelligence collection and law enforcement being able to use a communication in court.
Hmm.
So remember what happened to Scott Ritter just 2-3 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
The FBI showed up and they wanted to seize his phone and his computer, yet they already had in hand all of his text messages, all of his emails. They had already intercepted it. So they didn't need to grab his equipment because they already had it. The National Security Agency and British General Communications Headquarters, GCHQ,
mm-hmm.
which does is the British version of NSA. They actually, those two units sit side by side over in England and work together. They're scooping up all this information anyway. Anybody that tells you that Telegram is encrypted, WhatsApp is encrypted, any of these platforms that are supposedly encrypted and unavailable, they are being intercepted, and I am sure the encryption's been broken. So what you've got going on here is an effort to try to shut down Telegram, not because it's not cooperating with the United States. Let's just say that, think of it, Telegram's a global company.
Yeah.
It serves the world.
Yeah.
Are they supposed to give information out to everybody? So Iran wants the intercepted communications of any U.S. user in the United States? And so you're going to charge?
God, that's a great point. That's a great point. That's a great point you just made. I hadn't even thought of it that way, but you're right. It's almost like France is saying, well, we want to know what the Chinese and the Russians and the Iranians are up to. Then the Chinese are going to also take them to court and say, we want to know what the Americans and the Brits are up to. And then the Russians are going to take them to court and say, you know, we want to know what the Indians are up to or the Ukrainians are up to. It would never end, and we would have no telecommunications companies or any platforms like this.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
Your point's a good one.
Yeah, so that,
go ahead.
I mean, that's what's going on here. There's the problem is, Telegram allows free speech. And by allowing free speech, they are interfering with the intelligence community narratives that the West is trying desperately to promote, both with respect to what's going on in Ukraine and what's going on between in Israel's genocidal war against the Palestinians.
Do you agree with Manila? Manila's point seemed to be, and I think it's a fair one, that they've already gotten Zuckerberg to knuckle under. Zuckerberg, according to Manila and her reporting, Zuckerberg is pretty much doing whatever the hell it is the White House, the CIA, and the State Department wants, and he gives it to them without questions asked for the most part. And then he sent this letter to Congress saying, well, I wish I hadn't done this. I shouldn't have listened to them. There, France and the U.S. and perhaps Britain, as you mentioned, are trying to get Pavel to do the same thing that Zuckerberg's done. Is that? Do you see it that way?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Manila's point about the number of CIA officers that have gone to work at these social media platforms is telling. You know, they realize they can go make more money outside of government, but still curry favor with the government by becoming a conduit. But, you know, nobody should labor under the illusion that any of these social media platforms that advertise themselves as being secure and encrypted, that your information is safe and private. It's not.
It's being
scooped up by the government.
Boy, that's a little bothersome, though. I mean, I'm an American. You're an American. We love this country. We love what we generally stand for. But it does seem like more and more every day, there are forces within our government that are doing everything possible to invade our privacy. How far have they gone? Where exactly are we in this point? Is there anything any of us can do to maintain the level of privacy I think we kind of maybe used to have when you and I were growing up?
Go off the grid. Don't have a cell phone. Don't use a computer. Don't use a credit card.
That's not reasonable.
I mean, it's
no, but it's not, right?
That's the only way. That's the only way. If you're going to do anything that's electronic, anything that is going to pass over an internet,
mm-hmm.
they're scooping it up. It's being collected.
So just expect that they can have everything. I mean, you know, we have a meeting. We have a meeting for this show every day at 9 o'clock in the morning, right? Everybody's on. We talk about ideas. What are we going to talk to? Oh, we're going to get Larry Johnson on today and talk to him. We're going to cover this story, and here's the elements we're going to do. We discuss everything out there. Somebody has a right to go in there and listen to whatever the hell we're talking about, and they probably do, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, if they got the time. I mean, look, this has been going on, boy, even before there were, let's say, cell phones were ubiquitous.
Yeah.
I know one of my former business partners, he was the chief of international ops at DEA. And when they were trying to chase down the guy that blew up the Avianca plane went down in Colombia. It was an attempt to kill Pastrana at the time, one of the presidential candidates. They were able to track the guy. They got permission to set up a phone tap on him, and they trapped him by getting him to call his mother. And he was at a phone booth in Brooklyn when they grabbed him. But they were able to track real time. Now, this is back, 1988? So this is, you know, we're talking more than 30 years ago. They were able to do it then with technology. It was far less sophisticated than what we have today.
Is that the problem, the technology? Because it seems to me, look, there are times when I want my government, I want the CIA to do certain things and investigate certain people. I want the State Department to do its job and look out for the bad guys who actually want to do us harm. But when it turns into, we're going to use the excuse that we're going after bad guys so we can just investigate you because we don't like your politics or we don't like the way you think, that's a whole different story. And it seems that their technology today that they didn't have in the past gives them the opportunity using, like, you know, things like AI to monitor all of us, whereas they used to monitor only pinpoint people. Is that right? Did I get that right?
Yeah. Ed Snowden talked about this. It was revealed in the movie that Oliver Stone did with Ed Snowden. And, you know, one of the issues was they found out that they could actually go in through the computer, even if you got it turned off, and through there's technology out there that allows spies to look through your computer. And if you got your camera up, if the camera is not covered, they can actually look in and monitor you visually. In what you thought is the privacy of your home or your bedroom.
My life is pretty boring. So, I mean, I'm a granddad, and you know, I got some kids and a wife, and I got a regular house and everything, and I'm kind of just, you know, and I do this job where I consider myself a journalist, but I imagine I probably say some things that bother some folks over there. I wouldn't be surprised if they're listening in, right? I should assume they are.
Yes. Yeah, wow. The only thing that, you know, it gets down to targeting. There is such a volume of information, so it's not like they have a software system that will automatically flag and say, hey, here's this problem child, go grab him or her.
Right.
But once there is a decision made from a political standpoint of, we don't like what Rick is saying, we don't like what Mandela is saying, we don't like what Larry is saying, then they can come and start targeting you. And then they can, you know, cull through all that information real quick and make sure that it's targeted on you. So you get the focus.
And that's takes us back to the beginning of this conversation. That's what France is trying to do. And that's why they're trying to get Pavel to knuckle under so that he can help them do that. And they'll put him in jail if he doesn't. And that seems wrong.
Well, they're already doing it. What they're trying to get him to do is to stop being a platform that allows alternative voices.
Interesting. Yeah. And there we go back to what they think, what their ideology is, and how they might have alternative being the key word, a different way of thinking. Wow. Larry, that's a great conversation. It's really great to talk to you based on your judgment and your experience, for you to be able to share that with us. Thank you very much. I look forward to talking to you again.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Rick.
That's our show. Remember, always try and look at your own box. Juice don't live in boxes. I'm Rick Sanchez, and we'll be looking for you en la próxima, next time.